Today we are beginning a new section of our Bible correspondence course. It's lesson number 7 on the Sabbath, and today is part 1. The purpose of YAIY's Bible correspondence course is to help the student discover the core doctrines found in Scripture. The tenets we examine in this series of Sabbath messages is summarized in our Fundamentals of Faith mini-study found at yaiy.org. It is our belief that what is revealed in this course will provide a faithful understanding of the truths written in Scripture for our edification. And may your search for scriptural truth be a blessing to your body, soul, and spirit, and may it be jaw-dropping, heartwarming, long-lasting, enjoyable, and even glorious. That's my prayer for you. Our subject for this next series of studies is about Yahweh's holy convocation of Shabbat, the seventh day Sabbath of Yahweh. So I've been yearning, actually, to teach this component of our correspondence course because of the significance that this day has in my walk of faith. For it is the day to which I was called out of Babylon and Egypt. It's the day I was called out of confusion and false worship, to worship Yahweh Almighty in the name of his son, Yahshua Messiah. Of course, at the time that I was called out, I did not know the significance of their names, nor did I have much knowledge at all. All I knew were the three words in the scripture, were the three words that the Spirit of Yahweh wrote on my stony heart. Then those three words were, honor my Sabbath. That's it. That's the sum total of all I knew in the moment that I was changed forever. For they were not just three words spoken in my ear. They were written on my heart. I was simply and incomparably changed. And my heart had been circumcised. I was a new man, but still in the flesh. And as a consequence of this call, I pledged to do only three things on the Sabbath. One, read scripture. Two, pray. And three, sing praises to our Heavenly Father. Why did I make that particular pledge? I don't know. But that's just what I was led to do. I went home, took my Bible out of the bookcase, and blew the dust off of it. I was not a Bible student. I chose to believe what the pastor behind the pulpit was telling me. I just assumed that since he'd been to college and he had some degree, that he knew what he was talking about. So I just trusted that. That was a big mistake. So after getting home and not knowing where to look in the Bible, I simply opened it and my eyes fell on Romans 3 verse 4, which reads, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. Now I'm sure that this passage has been read by thousands of people who skipped over it without giving it a second thought. For me though, the words came crashing down like a flood of understanding. It meant that I had to set aside everything that I've been taught by man and read the Bible for what it says. What it says alone. I cannot account for what happened in that moment. For in that moment, I was given, and I mean given, the energy to study the scriptures. I became hungry and thirsty for the word and couldn't put the Bible down. I read day and night, and as I read, I experienced an amazing thing. I saw things to which I had been blind, or had been blinded. My jaw dropped at what I was reading. I went to the pastor. where my wife and I had attended church for about 9 years. And we met a few times, but the last thing he said to me was, and I quote verbatim, "John, don't read the Old Testament. It's only good for a few stories." In that moment, I understood what he was saying. He was blind, or rather, he had been blinded as well. So Liz and I realized that we couldn't go back, and we wandered in the wilderness of separation from our family. And as time progressed, from our biological families, from our friends, and even our employers, it was a tumultuous time in our lives, but Yahweh opened doors that no one could close, and he closed doors that no one could open. I believe that Yahweh sent a messenger to us, actually, and led us here to Kingdom City, a land of spiritual, as it were, milk and honey. He truly is our provider, Yahweh Yireh, and our healer, Yahweh Rapha. And I love the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Here's an image of what I believe, because I created this. I believe closely resembles the original tablets of Moses given to him by Yahweh in the original pictographic Hebrew language. It's as close as I can imagine it to be. The Ten Commandments are foundational laws that we find in the Bible. Many will say that they recognize them as being good for us even today. I mean, we see court battles over the placement of the Ten Commandments in courthouses and schools and all this. People are fighting to put it there. I find it just really interesting that they don't believe it. And they teach that the law has been done away with. We're not under it. So why are they fighting? It's confusing to me. I'm not confused about the Ten Commandments, but it's confusing that people fight for it even though they don't keep it. Two of the most neglected of the ten are the third and fourth commandments, which declare the importance of Yahweh's name and the seventh day Sabbath, which Yahweh set apart and made special for us to remember and to observe forever. In regards to the name of Yahweh and the name of Yahshua, it should be absolutely clear how important their names are. I mean, our names are important. Do we ever sign a contract with someone else's name? Or do we ever sign a contract with a title? The man who lives three doors down on Nickel Street from... No, we don't sign that. We don't say, you don't write just elder or bus driver or, you know. We don't do that because it's not legal. There's no authority in our title. And there's no authority if we sign a document that's not in our name. So why would we expect Yahweh to hear us in our prayers even if we're not calling on his name? We're not asking for his authority if we don't do that. That's my take on that. That's what I believe. The name is important. We could say that there's power in the name. And I'm not speaking as I've been accused of saying there's something magical about his name. No, it's authority that the purpose for we use the name of Yahshua and Yahweh. I want his authority in my life, not the deity of fortune. Now, to remember something in Hebrew, in the Hebrew vernacular, I should say, is to speak and act in behalf of the subject being referred to. So when we read the words in Scripture, remember the Sabbath, we should be thinking in our minds, speak and act in behalf of the Sabbath. For example, in Luke 23, 39 to 43, we read, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him." This is Yahshua on the stake with the two criminals on either side. "Blasphemed Yahshua, saying, 'If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear Elohim, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly are hanging here, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Yahshua, 'Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" So he's asking not for Yahshua to just recall his name. The verse following, verse 43, says, "And Yahshua said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'" Notice that Yahshua didn't say, "So what's your name so I can call to memory the vision of you dying here beside me?" Yahshua understood the request. And then he spoke and acted in behalf of the one who honored him by pledging the man's entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh. That is what remember means. And that is the intensity with which we are to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Some will say that they obey the Sabbath, but when asked if they observe the seventh day Sabbath, the day called Saturday, they admit that they actually keep the first day of the week called Sunday. Others twist the word of Yahweh to read the commandment as, "You shall keep one in 7 days holy." And then they add, "And it doesn't matter what day." And I say, may Yahweh reward them for their works. Keeping another day holy, other than what Yahweh made holy, is lawlessness in the flesh and an abomination in the spirit of Yahweh. Sunday was instituted as Roman law in 321 CE by Emperor Constantine, who was a sun god worshiper himself. His law stated, "All judges, city people, and craftsmen shall rest on the venerable day of the sun, but countrymen may without hindrance attend to agriculture." So he didn't want the food supply to diminish on the worship day, Sunday, so he allowed the farmers to work. "Since it so often happens," and this, I'm still quoting, "that this day for sowing grain or planting vines afforded by divine providence," you know, there is a law against divination, right? Okay. That's why I don't have a degree in divinity. "So that a day afforded by divine providence may not be lost, for the right season is short." And this is taken from the Introduction to the History of Christianity by Dr. Tim Dowley. "The seventh day Sabbath is still alive and remains a sign between Yahweh and his people, as is the sabbatical land rest, the Jubilee year, and all of Yahweh's 7 annual high Sabbaths, all holy convocations and appointed times. Yahweh has always emphasized his Sabbaths, plural, yet many have been misled into thinking that the Sabbath is no longer necessary under the new covenant. Colossians chapter 2 is often pointed out to prove this, but it is referring to dogmas. In other words, man-made ordinances, where people quote, "and the law basically was nailed to the cross." No, it was not the law, but it was our infractions against the law that were nailed to the stake, the torture stake or the tree. That was nailed there and is done away with. That's the sins that we commit up until a time that we turn our lives around and we're baptized. And baptism basically is our public announcement to those in our family that I'm going to be walking in the way of Yahweh from now on. So all the sins that we committed are washed away. That was nailed and taken away. In our baptism, we are fresh, renewed, as it were. And it's important that when that takes place, that we commit ourselves to abiding in the law of Yahweh, to worship Him as He asks us to do. It is a sign between us and Him that we are His children. And so people will take this verse in Colossians to prove that the law has been done away with, which the Gnostic Greeks believed in. They are not to judge believers for the Sabbaths or other appointed times that Yahweh tells us to keep. Other areas of Scripture that might be used as a proof text, and I assume you know what that is, people take a text out of context to make a pretext for a proof text to make a doctrine that is against the law of Yahweh. Other areas of Scripture that might be used for proof text do away with the Sabbath and are soon understood when thought upon in the light of the word of Yahweh. So if you simply read the Scripture for what it says, these false accusations against the law of Yahweh will be made clear. For example, some people think Yahshua was resurrected on Sunday morning. Nope. The reality is he arose before the end of the seventh day, Saturday, as we call it, and was actually put in the tomb before the end of the fourth day, which was a Wednesday. And if you read in John 19, verse 31, you see that the Sabbath day being referred to there was a high Sabbath. It was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, following the day, which was not a holy convocation, of Passover. He died on Passover. We must understand that a biblical day always starts at sunset and then ends at the following sunset, which then starts the next day. Yahshua was entombed for 3 days and three nights, which can no way be theorized away to 1.5 days or some other combination of days. And ask anyone what day the Messiah died, and they'll say Friday afternoon, and they'll count Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There it was in 3 days. No. It never works out. You can't make 3 days and three nights fit into Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday morning before the sun comes up. It's just impossible. And yet, 2 billion people believe that. The seventh-day Sabbath was set apart at creation, and though included in the Ten Commandments, was made law well before any laws were given at Mount Sinai to Moses by Yahweh. There is much that can be learned by keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, one of which is we are a special people holy unto Yahweh. And since He is holy and we are to be a holy people, then it only makes sense to keep His Sabbath days holy by doing no regular work and fellowshipping together on these days as He has commanded. They are holy convocations. Convocations means a gathering. And many people will say, well, you know, show me the church in the Old Testament. It's not there, so the church didn't exist. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because congregation, a convocation means a congregation. It's a gathering. So does assembly. There are about at least three different words. In our title that I have on the front of our program. I write in Hebrew, Kohol Yahweh B'Yashua. Kohol is another word. It means assembly. That is basically the same word in the Greek language, ekklesia, which means a gathering of people. The church is not a building. It is a group of people who are together, who are aligned to worship Yahweh in the way that he has asked us to. The weekly Sabbath, as well as the annual seven Sabbaths, are the holy convocations. The Bible details many historical events from the past and many prophecies that will take place in the future. So if your goal of effective Bible study is to remember what you study and recall what you learned and where it can be found, we recommend that you take notes. Write down all the scriptures offered in every lesson that we present, read them in context, and then answer the test questions. In regards to that, if you are interested in taking the Bible correspondence course, if you finish all 21 lessons, we will give you a certificate of completion. Question number one. This is not the test. This is simply questions that we ask to present the material on the Sabbath day. What do the Ten Commandments say about keeping the seventh day? So if you were to read through the entire Ten Commandments in the two witnesses to Yahweh's law, his Torah, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, you would discover that they are practically identical, except for the verses pertaining to the Sabbath day. Let's examine these differences. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. And this is the fourth commandment, essentially. It reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." It's interesting that from the beginning, anyone could become a part of Israel. And we believe that we are of Israel, those who want to worship Yahweh in the way that he has directed us. We are of Israel. Israel has not been put away. And there is only one assembly in the myriads of denominations and the like. There really is only one assembly, and it is the assembly that worships Yahweh according to his will. In the next verse, in verse 11, is where we find the difference that we're going to compare to in Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20, verse 11. "For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Okay. The English word hallowed here comes from the Hebrew word kadash, kadash, which means to appoint, to consecrate, dedicate, make holy, prepare, proclaim, purify, and sanctify. It means all of those things. It is the seventh day of the week, a day which has never changed from the very beginning. According to the Merriam-Webster and every other dictionary, the day we call Saturday is, quote, the seventh day of the week. It's just that simple. There are no exceptions, conditions, or alternatives suggested in any of the dictionaries that I've seen. And if anyone has, if you have been taught that the seventh day has been changed, then ask yourself this: has Sunday ever changed? The Sunday hasn't changed, then neither has Saturday. Okay, notice that verse 11 references Yahweh creating the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14, actually through 15, but we're going to read 14 for right now. And it reads, "Observe," okay, which is different than the word in Exodus. This word is the word shamar, which means to guard, protect, and attend to. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Sounds similar to that which is written in Exodus. The phrase, keep it holy, is one word in Hebrew. It's the word kadash, which means to appoint, consecrate, dedicate, make holy, prepare, proclaim, purify, and sanctify. The same thing that Yahweh did when he hallowed the seventh day. He's asking us to do the same thing. Now, the next verse pertaining to Sabbath is 15 of Deuteronomy 5. And remember, okay, which means to speak and act in behalf of, remember, speak and act, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand. Who's that? By Yahshua. And by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It's a different reason to keep the Sabbath day. In Exodus 20, it was in honor of creation. Yahweh created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Therefore, honor the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy, it's Yahshua essentially brought you out of Egypt, took away your slavery. Therefore, honor the Sabbath day. The section of Deuteronomy that references the Sabbath day speaks of the salvation of his chosen people from the bondage of oppression and false worship. Examining the creational references in Exodus 20 and the salvational references in Deuteronomy 5, who is Yahweh pointing to in his holy Sabbath convocation? To whom did Yahweh give his power and glory with which to create the heavens and the earth? And to whom did he send to mankind that we might be saved from eternal death, from this slavery and this oppression? John 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Tontion. Tontion means the Almighty, who's Yahweh. And the Word was Theos, a word which means the Mighty One, being Yahshua, our Master. He is our Mighty One. Verse 2, he, Yahshua, was in the beginning with Tontion, with the Almighty Yahweh. All things were made through him, Yahshua, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses. You find that surprising? Baptized into Moses. In the cloud and in the sea. And so quite literally, we were baptized into the law of Yahweh, which Moses represents, so that we might live. Verse 3, all ate the same spiritual food. What is that? Manna from heaven. Who is the manna from heaven? And all drank the same spiritual drink. Who offered water of which we shall never thirst again? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Matthew 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Yahshua answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," and that word there in Greek is Petros, which means a small rock. Then, as Yahshua was speaking to his disciples, I haven't finished these verses yet, as he was speaking to his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, he pointed to the huge rock edifice behind him. I don't know if you can see that image very clearly. And the entrance to the cave below it, called the Gates of Hades, and said, "And on this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Was Yahshua talking about Peter, the rock upon which he will build his assembly? Yahweh forbid. The conversation is about the fact that Yahshua is the Messiah sent to us by Yahweh. Yahshua was using a metaphor to emphasize the power of Yahweh, the rock, over the darkness of evil. It is this rock that Yahshua is the Messiah sent by Yahweh, that the assembly of Yahweh will be built upon, not Peter. Yahshua is the cornerstone of this assembly, and we are the living stones of this edifice. Matthew 16:18 has been hijacked by the same people who killed Peter and then posthumously raised him to the status of the first pope of their political religion. They did likewise with Yahshua himself. They did that with Paul and John and thousands of Sabbath-keeping believers. Even in modern times, their terrorism lays hidden. For example, the so-called Saint Patrick, who is celebrated with green beer, songs, and even school parties, was a Sabbath-keeping believer of the way, sharing the same understanding as the disciples in Antioch. The church, however, envious of his Celtic assemblies, put him on trial and executed him for refusing to consent to Sunday worship. Then, 200 years later, after that, because his historical reputation followed him, they claimed that he was sent by the church and made him a saint. He was a Sabbath keeper, and he was killed for that, for keeping the law of Yahweh. Mark 2, verses 27-28. "And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man.'" The Sabbath was made for man. "And not man for the Sabbath." So it's a gift to us. It's not something we have to work for to obtain. It's given freely. "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also sovereign of the Sabbath." Sabbath is a gift. May we hold tightly to its eternal value.